You're listening to The Bob Dean Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Bob Dean Show.
Yay!
Yay. We are officially on air. Woohoo! Fabulous on the air sign that Dennis's friend Jane sent from Clear Lake, Northern California. It's pretty awesome. I'm going to figure out a way to hang it behind me in the future. Everything's cool in LA. It's overcast. It's humid. The temperature's gone down. I hope it's good in your part of the world. This live stream of the Bob Dean Show is broadcast on LA Talk Radio to people all over the world at this point. I'm happy to report, excited to report, coast to coast and lots of other countries as far as New Zealand and, of course, Thailand and England in the UK. Let's see what else that's about. You know what? I could go on and on, but let's just get Kathy, because Kathy St. George was kind enough. We were yakking it up. Hi, Kath, to come back again this week. How are you, Dal?
We had too much fun last week, so I had to come back.
It's good to see you.
It's great.
As usual, your hair looks fabulous.
Thank you. I just got it done by my hairdresser.
Your hairdresser? Up. You know, that's so South Florida to talk like that. So it's me.
You know what? It was hell to find a hairdresser, too.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to find. It took me 2 years to find a good dry cleaner, but now I'm so in love with it, I go hang out there.
At your dry cleaner?
I'm not kidding you. It's the nicest people that work there. It's got a beautiful gift shop with a gorgeous couch. And
oh, you are in Palm Beach. I forgot.
And my dog can run all around in there. And they have beautiful gifts. And plus, the tailor and I love each other. We just crack up. So.
Well, so it's sort of like the car wash of, yeah, of dry cleaners. Because, you know, I've gotten a lot of gifts for people at the car wash and my tube socks and all that good stuff. But they keep tearing them down out here. They're all gone.
Oh, no. This stuff is like you get a fine hotel in, you know, wherever. Well, these gifts are like.
I used to go when my first trip to Florida was to West Palm Beach on the other side. A couple of girls that I knew from Nashville moved down there. I have never had so much fun in my friggin' life. And my buddy Casey, there's several people from this restaurant where I worked when I was in college, and they moved to West Palm to open another restaurant. I went down to visit. Casey had this old beat up Oldsmobile that was all rusty and everything, and he loaned it to me for the time that I was there. And the one morning that I drove over to Palm Beach to take pictures of the sunrise, I mean, I wasn't there 5 seconds when 8 Palm Beach police cars just surrounded me.
Why?
Because I looked like a serial killer in this old beat up car with Tennessee plates. So, of course, you know, after I spoke to them in my polo shirt and my Bass Weedrins, they were cool. But, you know, there's no point in this. But it's changed so much. When that first time that I was there, Singer Island was nothing but tiki bars and dunes. And now it's all high rises and such. But I'm glad that you found a dry cleaner that's so entertaining.
Oh, it is. I have fun there, actually.
I want to bring this up now, before I forget, and then we're going to get on to talking about your boobs and such. Now, because they're so fabulous.
Speaking of.
Anyway, listen, y'all. My Instagram is BobDean2971. All right? That's what it is now. And it's BobTheSurlyComic.com is my website. And, of course, this is about 3 years ago or 2 years ago, after 3 or 4 martinis, and I still had to have a pack of cigarettes at like 4 in the morning, I was screwing around online, and I know nothing about it. I make no apologies for it. Call me whatever you want. I can parallel park, and I know how to make ice cubes from scratch, but I don't know anything about the internet and such. Bob Dean, in lowercase, Bob Dean at 2299, okay? That was my it's an existing Instagram that has all of our old shows on it. They're also, if you go to YouTube and put in Bob Dean at 2299, all these shorts that I did, you know, short Bob Dean moments and all that sort of thing. And it's hilarious because it's all the ones that we did that Sammy put up on YouTube. So y'all can go there for the time being, and I'm going to find myself some person that's like under 25 that can help me, if it's even possible, to merge those two together on Instagram.
I haven't been able to figure out how to do that either. I have two.
Well, just remember, Bob Dean, lowercase, Bob Dean at 2299. Write that down.
No, at Bob Dean.
It's Bob Dean S. All right, wait a minute. Here we go.
On
with the
YouTube?
Yeah.
It's at Bob Dean 2299.
Okay, sorry. I just scratch everything I said. It's at Bob Dean 2299. So scratch the Bob Dean at, put the at in front, lowercase Bob Dean 2299, if you even want to go there after all this. So anywho,
I'm on it, so you better go, because I'm sure I'm.
Well, I just wanted you to know that, so you could go and look at all the things we did in the at the Ruby Studio over there before.
I know.
It was fun, and we had a good time. And Sammy Dennis likes to do Sammy's signature pose. Sam Fumio, you better be watching up there in New York. Zach Herndon. And, of course, Dennis is here with me now, and you and all the originators of this fine broadcast, podcast that I love doing. Want to plug the L.A. School of Comedy. 1835, it's on the corner of Santa Monica and Westwood. Open mics, Monday, Wednesday, Friday night. Friday night's especially a gas. Sunda Kroonquist, my comedy mentor and good friend, is the owner and instructor of this outrageously fun and fine comedy school. But open mics, everybody's welcome. And 10835 Santa Monica Boulevard in gorgeous Persian Westwood. So that in mind as well. Steph, what's going on since last week? We were talking about Kathy, as most of you know, was the Playboy Playmate centerfold. Woohoo! We were just looking at you, and you're still as hot as you were then and back in 1982.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I wish I still felt as good. I mean, my X-rays look like shit, but I'm glad the outside's holding up okay.
Right. It's like Billy Crystal said. It's not how you feel. It's not how you feel. It's how you look.
You look marvelous.
You know, I was talking to some. I hate to refer to people as young people and all that, but that's what we got to do now. Or younger folks. It's not. They've never heard of that video. Billy. They don't even know who Billy Crystal is, which is fine. I mean, you know, it's to everything. Turn. You know. But dang, that video, if y'all have never seen it, you need to go to YouTube and type in Billy Crystal, you look marvelous. It is outrageous and funny.
It really is. I use that a lot. I actually use that a lot. When somebody looks really good in a photograph on Facebook or something, I write, you look marvelous.
Exactly. I'm telling you, man, this getting old shit sucks. Getting old ain't for pussies.
Especially when that gets old, too.
I got out of bed for the fourth time to take a little tinkle at about 4:30 this morning. And I'll be damned if I didn't get out of bed and just like go, whoa, and fall back onto the bed. Damn, man, this is getting embarrassing. I'll never be able to have more than 4 or 5 shots again when I go out because of the odds that I'll fall down or something.
I have a really high bed, too, so it's kind of scary.
I know. I've sat on it before, and it's gorgeous. It is high. It's like one of those old Victorian things.
I know. I can't figure out how to make it lower, but I have my dog has to have a stool.
Of course. Well, all you got to do is get some little ask your dry cleaner who they can recommend as a personal builder and have a little staircase. So you can wear negligees and make videos of you walking up to your huge palatial bed. That's cool. It's a great bed.
I'll probably trip over the staircase and break a leg. So
okay. For those of you that are, I'm sorry to interrupt. This is my first green screen, and it is coming down.
It's all the way down, all the way across.
All right. Well, we're just going to let it go. We're just going to keep going from here. Sam, I'm sorry about that. you never know what's going to happen on this show.
Oh well, it's
going
to happen. Oh no, I just fell out.
Well, the dentist took it down off the wall because it was coming down anyway. So I have
it came off all the way.
Yeah, okay. So I'm sitting still, but now my mouth is not keeping up.
Yeah, that's been going on for a while.
Going
on for a little while.
This is this is hilarious. Hello? My God, it's going to keep plugging along. I don't know what the hell's going on here, but at the Bob Dean Show, it's always fun.
Yay!
So, I want to, since we never really go in any kind of certain direction, I know, for those that are just tuning in, thank you. But yeah, this is, the Lord in heaven is telling me not to yap so much. But there was this, this is completely changing the subject for a moment. Yesterday, there was a 30-person flash robbery at the Glendale Galleria or somewhere out there. And 30 looked like teenage men went into whatever store it was, took $300,000 worth of merchandise, and just ran out. And I got to tell you, I was cracking up because three or four of these guys must have weighed 400 pounds. They were kids. And they were like going, like friggin' Oompa Loompas, you know. And but they still got away. And I was like, dang, girl, if they can
and
do
you know
it,
why?
Why can't
because-
we?
Because security guards at malls are not really qualified to actually
well, they're not,
to pursue.
And they're not allowed to really do anything.
No, they're not.
It's so screwed up out here now.
I mean, it's weird that they can just run in and do that, you know. And, you know, well, my ex-brother-in-law, he, I guess, was doing a little too much drugs or something. I didn't know him then. And my ex-brother-in-law's brother, let me put it that way. It wasn't anybody married to my sister.
By marriage.
But was his brother. And he was so high, he went and robbed a 7-Eleven in a full body cast.
Oh my God, are you kidding?
He was in a full body cast.
Bless his stupid, friggin' white trash heart.
Those opioids make you do some dumb shit.
Oh my God!
You just say he went to jail because he could outrun so fast.
Did you ever follow that show, Mom?
I love that show.
It's hilarious. And when what's her name, Christine came on in the last couple seasons.
I love her.
She is hilarious, man. And but her crime was how she ended up going to prison was she robbed an Outback Steakhouse and she was high as hell on. Police eat free night.
That's
it's a great character.
I miss that. I may have to. I actually re-binge watched the whole thing because
it's
I like
a great
this
show.
But I'm a big fan of hers. I have her book, and she signed a book to me actually, and she's got quite the life story. I mean, of what she went through and her addictions and stuff. Because I think it was pretty much opioids, you know.
Well, I love the fact that
Jane Lynch was addicted to NyQuil.
No kidding.
That was her story.
Well, that's pretty interesting because who doesn't love Jane Lynch? Well, a lot of people. I love Jane Lynch.
This goes to show you.
But now, what's her name? Who's the main character, the blonde?
That was... God, I know. I just saw her in a movie.
This is so embarrassing.
She was married to Chris Pratt. And
because what I wanted to bring up was, I'm sure you've seen the movie House Bunny.
Oh yeah, I remember
that movie is so friggin' funny.
She showed it at the mansion.
When she her car every time she opens the door it squeaks so loud her old Volare it goes and all the dogs in the neighborhood start yapping.
She was so, I think she's so cute.
The blonde.
I think she's really cute actress, you know?
Yeah, Anna, what's her name?
Hold on.
Anna Faris, yeah. And because she started off in all those scary movie, those sequels. And she was also in the movie, oh my God! I'm sorry, audience. I'm having a brain fart. We're saying worked in the Applebee's kind of place. Waiting. The movie was called Waiting, and it was Ryan Reynolds and Anna Faris. They were both very young, and that movie is about as accurate as it gets to work in
really?
That type of chain restaurant. The only thing that I never ever saw was in all the years I've worked in places like that. You know, TGI Fridays and Spats and Applebee's and all that stuff. I never saw the cooks do anything nasty to the food, but you know the 3 second rule of picking something up off the floor and throwing it back on the grill, yes, and all that stuff. And the funniest part of the whole movie is because we partied every night. Somebody had a house party every night, and they're like in this mall parking lot, and everything's done. There's like Saturday night. They close at midnight. There's one server, the bartender, the guys in the kitchen have everything done, and they're leaning against, I mean, it's clean, perfect. The hostess is up there, and they're all like looking at, watching the seconds go by on the clock. And at like 3:03, this car pulls in the lot, and the hostess, and there's not another car. The hostess is like, ugh. So this couple comes in, and the guy's like this jock dork, and he's like, are you still serving? And she's like, well, we close at midnight. And he's like, well, we have 3 minutes. And she goes, well, let me check with the manager. So she calls the manager in the office, and he's like, sure, bring him on in. So the hostess goes back to the kitchen. She goes, there's one more deuce. And they're like, fuck, motherfucker. And they're slamming it, their own shit around. That's about as accurate as it gets.
You know, that show, The Bear, I don't know if you've seen it. It's amazing, but I never realized it's about a chef who comes back to, I think, Chicago to a sandwich shop after his brother dies. And he's been a five-star chef, Michelin chef somewhere else. And he comes back to, but I've never realized how hard it is to work in a kitchen.
Oh, it's, listen, that's one thing. I've done everything from scrub toilets to be a manager, you know, a general manager. I've come close a couple times to owning my own spot on Miami Beach, which I'm glad I didn't. But that saying, can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen, that was me. No, I could do anything, but, and I'd get in there if I had to, but, oh.
It's like being in the service in boot camp, the way they talk to the people back there, you know, because they just got to get that food out and they don't give a shit, you know.
They are, they can, well, they're all nice guys in the long run.
Oh, yeah.
But when I've worked with the five-star chefs, though, they're just unpleasant people.
Oh, no, they are.
You know what, doesn't stink. And they're just, you know, not all, but many that I have worked with.
And you're supposed to say, yes, chef. No, chef.
Yes, of course. But yeah. But like I said, I have great respect for them. Absolute. From a line cook, somebody working at Waffle House, to...
me too.
Fords in Miami, that sort of thing. Did you ever... Did I send you that video? There's a comic. Her name is Leah Rudnick. If y'all aren't familiar with her, she puts up these, she's hilarious, and she puts up these short films on Instagram called Wealthy Woman Goes to Waffle House, Wealthy Woman Goes Camping, Wealthy Woman Buys Car, okay? And
Wealthy
it's.
Wealthy Woman Goes to Waikiki.
And she is so out of touch. She's really pretty. She's got these big eyes, and she's so out of touch with what happens in the real world, you know? And she does this one about Waffle House.
Oh, I want to watch those.
I'll send it to you when we're done. It's friggin' hilarious. She's like, it's so well lit. It's sort of like a prison kitchen for degenerates like Benihana.
Like Benihana.
No, it's a Benihana for degenerates. Anyway. Yeah, she's hilarious. And there's also another guy that I sent videos to. What's his friggin' name? Man, I got to stop bringing up shit when I can't remember people's names. He's a great comic.
You know, I've gotten like that lately. When I just saw, when you brought up Anna Faris, I just seen her with in an Uma Thurman movie where she, Uma Thurman's a superhero, and I just saw it, and it was gone. And I used to be so good at that.
Well, see, that's why we should get together before we get on and write down notes so we know where we're going, because I don't want people to be like, that guy is such a fucking idiot. Basically,
you know what I used
why to does he bring it up these people that he can't remember their names?
Trivial Pursuit, when I used to play that a lot, and also I used to play Scrabble to the computer every night before I went to sleep. I would play games of Scrabble, like 3 or 4 games. I got so good that, and my mind got so quick that I could beat people by 300 points.
No kidding.
Yeah, I mean, because I was getting 7-letter words all the time.
Well, that's something, you know, I guess I need to start taking that brain supplement and reading more and all that sort of thing, because my brain's...
We just have to exercise our brains more, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And our asses, too.
We used to, back in the bad old days in Miami in the 80s, where I tell people the movie Scarface was entirely accurate. And I cannot believe I'm not dead or in a 12-step program, because those days are way behind me now. They're way behind. I think I did coke at a Christmas party, like, well, not last Christmas, the one before. Somebody's like, hey, you want some blow. And I'm like, yeah, sure. I haven't done it in ages. So I did it. And I was like, it's gasoline. It was so nice. More than, but the point of me going into that is that we used to, after work, we'd do like the house party thing at somebody's house. And we'd play Trivial Pursuit. There'd be like four teams. And we would just be like, glug, glug, glug. And we would play for hours until like 9, 10 in the morning.
Oh, no. I did that too.
I love that game.
I did that too. I played that games with some, one night on New Year's Eve, I played it with Liza Minnelli and Treat Williams and all these people. I still kick their ass. I still kick their ass on anything to do with the movie industry. And they were all in it.
Treat Williams passed away not too long ago. That was
tragic. No, it was sad.
Can you tell us your Liza Minnelli story? That's a great story, please.
Which one?
The one where she was taking a shower or something.
She made me go in and watch her take a shower while she was getting ready because I had been up all night and I was still at her house. And she made me stay for dinner, and I was still in the clothes I had on the night before, and it was Rex Harrison and his wife coming for dinner, and Amy Irving, and I had to watch her take a shower. I had to sit in the bathroom, and I think it's because she was afraid her husband would hit on me because they were both flirting with me. Like, I had to stay in the room with her.
Do you remember when
she's
married?
She's really nice.
I'm sure. And she was hilarious on Arrested Development.
Oh, my God, yes.
She was freaking hilarious. She pulled the woman across the hall, the socialite that was all screwed up. But when she married that guy, the picture like 20 years ago or more of Elizabeth Taylor, Michael Jackson, her, and the guy she married that was in like People Magazine, I thought they all looked so bad that I thought this would be a great t-shirt because they all look just so ridiculous.
All sitting on a couch at Studio 54 usually. And Elizabeth was big then. She was big. And I shouldn't talk, but yeah. And little Michael Jackson was always so little. So he just made them all look bigger. So,
was he a small guy in real life?
It wasn't that he was short. He was just fit, you know, very lean because he danced a lot.
Yeah.
In his routines, you know, and stuff. He was very good friends with my girlfriend. And I have a picture of them together at studio. She saw him like a month before he died at his dermatologist. And he was saying how fit he was because actually Lou Ferrigno was actually working, training him to go on tour to get him really fit.
No kidding.
Yeah. And he goes, look at, I actually have a six pack. I've never had a six pack. And he was really excited about this tour. So it's really a shame. Yeah.
What a tragedy, you know, despite whatever accusations and this or that. Nope. I wasn't there and I'm not defending him, but he was such a talent.
Well, I found him to be very nice, and he never had a childhood, really. I mean, he had to grow up pretty fast.
Yeah, and his father was so damn strict.
I think that he loved to be around children. I ran into him at Disneyland once with my girlfriends, and he had a bunch of kids with him, holding. He may have even had a monkey, I don't know. Only he could get a monkey into Disneyland. And I remember he came up to us because he loved my girlfriend's jacket. He goes, I love that jacket. So, and it was New Year's Day because I was sober for a long time. And I always felt that going to Disneyland was best to go on New Year's Day when everyone was home with a hangover.
That's brilliant. I bet it was a good day.
I always go on New Year's Day.
You know, when he got out, when his trial for his estate, whatever. But when he got out of the limousine in pajamas, I swear, I was like, am I seeing this right?
What would he do with, what did, where was
he? He was for the Neverland, you know, when he was accused of all this sort of thing. And one of the days that he went to trial, he got out of the limousine in his pajamas.
Oh, I would have done that.
Why not?
In fact, I used to say when I went to and program, I was in program for a while, and also even doctor's appointments that are too early for me now, I tell them I'm coming in my pajamas. I don't want to go anywhere too early.
Well, I go to Ralph's in my pajamas, and I'll go out if my car is not in the garage and back. If it's on the street, I'll go out there in my boxers. I don't care. Marissa, who lives across the hall, she's a sweetheart. She's going to be on the Bob Dean Show. Yay, at some point. Yeah. She's an actress and a model, and she's a sweetheart. And she also was Pam Anderson's body double in that unofficial movie that Pam Anderson didn't hate it. Not her documentary, which was great. The point is...
The one that the other people did. The right. one... With the acting, the actors in it.
Yeah, because
Lily Rose.
She's English.
Yeah, she's great though. Great act. She was very good in it.
Because the Mirror, you know, that horrible tabloid in England.
Oh yeah.
Gone or whatever. One of the reporters was following. One of the reporters was following her around, and she had no idea. She thought it was like a stalker because she's got a big following on Instagram and all that sort of thing. She's a real sweet kid, but she's very attractive. And she had only lived here for a couple months, so we knew each other to say hello, but because we're pretty tight, we're real close right now. She's like my little niece. Anyway, she comes over and she goes, look, this guy's been following me everywhere. I think he's a stalker. And so we walk down to the end of the driveway to Stoner Avenue, and he's sitting in this car. And she goes, that's him. And then he gets out of the car, and he starts walking toward us. So I'm like, you go upstairs. So I walk up the driveway to the landing, and he stops, and I'm like, sir, you need to just back off. She doesn't want to speak to you. He's like, but I just want to say hello. He didn't identify himself as a reporter. And I said, look, man, she doesn't want to speak to you. And he's like, but I'm not leaving. And then Dennis, out of nowhere, is up on the second floor thing with this. I can see it from here. I wish I could step out and get it. It's this monkey wrench that belonged to my great-grandfather. It's red, and it's like this big. And Dennis is in a wife beater and his boxers. And I'm trying to be all diplomatic going, you need to please just step back. And Dennis is like, get that beep out of here. I'm going to come down there and bash in your head. And the guy's like,
"Well,
that's not very nice." And Dennis is like, well, you're not, you know, you need to leave her alone and all that sort of thing. And he did leave, but then we found out he was a reporter. And,
you know, well, yeah, because the reporters,
like that.
But I actually, I had stalkers. I had one in 2009 and 10 when MySpace was new. And I used to do a lot of appearances, signing autographs at Comic-Cons and all that. But so he always knew where I was. He lived in Berlin. And it got to the point where the FBI took the case.
Wow.
And he was actually, they found... They finally arrested him. He had a bag with rope and tape, and he knew where I lived because an attorney got him the information. But I've had two stalkers. One of them ended up being deported for life, which only a terrorist gets deported for life. Usually they can only deport you for 10 years, and then you're allowed back in the country. He got deported for life because they said he will never get better. He has an illness called erotomania. The second one I had was in L.A. when I was living at the Langham. But the thing was, one night I was walking home from a restaurant. It was pouring rain. I had my dog, and I had a gallbladder, like a stone or a tack or something, you know, where it's. And I literally got so sick, I fell down on the sidewalk, laying there in the rain, trying to cover my dog. And thank God I had a stalker, because the stalker pulled up and saw me. And I actually let him put me in his car because I had no way to get home. I was in that much pain. And he helped me get in my apartment building. So thank God for that stalker.
I'm saying, are you still in touch with him?
He was right behind me and saw it happen.
You know, I can't imagine how terrifying that must be to know that you know, you can't do anything. Without somebody knowing where
he would sleep outside the Langham.
Which unfortunately wouldn't have stood out to too much.
And you know what's bad?
Because that building was spectacular.
I know. I miss it so much. It's like I live here. I miss that place so much. This place does not get my...
I would love to live in that building. It's like stepping back in time with the grand piano and the fireplace and all that. But it's just so central. It's, you know, the trap that, you know, it's trying to get anywhere at any time of day except early morning or 3 o'clock in the morning is such a hassle to get over there.
I actually found it easier to get places from there. Wilshire was actually easy to drive and sixth. I took six.
No kidding.
I had no trouble getting, much less than living on the west side. Then,
well, for those that aren't familiar with LA, because traffic's gotten to be so out of control everywhere anyway. But in Los Angeles, you have to know like secret ways around.
Yeah.
Like I have this great, and I, honest to God, it is the best kept secret in LA. And there's some few people that know about it, but it can get you, because you know that on Olympic, Pico, Santa Monica, and Wilshire, the four main boulevards heading toward the 405.
Mm-hmm.
You can, you know, it starts at about Bundy, and it's just, you know, bumper to bumper, inch on all those boulevards, right?
Yeah, Bundy's pretty rough.
But I'm not going to tell everybody here, but it has to do with coming out by the Newark Theater. So you take side streets all around like this, and you end up coming out between the Newark Theater and the Tile Store right there at 405. You turn right, and then boom, it cuts 45 minutes off your drive time.
Well, that's, you know, that's great. You know, it's really weird. I know this is off the subject again, back to the stalker, is what's hard for people now in the industry is that we used to have a law called the Rebecca Schaefer Law.
That was such a horrible, that sweet young girl, her career just starting. My sister Sam was the name of her show with Pam Dauber. And anyway, go ahead.
I was never had to have my home address on my passport or my driver's license. I was always allowed to use one of those paid mailboxes, and I was allowed to do that. Whereas you're not allowed to do it. You know, you have to have your home address. But the Rebecca Schaefer Law protected anyone that was in the public, that was a public figure. Mm-hmm. And now, because of the internet, they put places you might go stay just for a week, and it'll put it down and people will know that you've stayed at this hotel. That's how bad it is. I've looked up the places.
That's outrageous.
I've got friends that have gotten mail for me from fans just because I stayed at their house a week, and I didn't even get mail at their house.
That's crazy.
That's how much you're being watched.
It's outrageous. I'm so glad I'm going to be dead in 20, 30 years. My sister lived in Key West for many years. And Key West, as you know, is this big.
I love Key West.
I loved it. Fortunately, I lived in Miami. This is in the early to mid 80s. She lived there and I lived in Miami. And it hadn't been overdone yet with resorts and all that. It was still pretty much conch republic.
Yeah, it was fun.
And so I would, you know, three pairs of briefs and two pairs of cutoffs and four t-shirts. And I was down there. I'd never stay more than 3 days because I'd go crazy on the island. You know, I'd be like, oh, I got to get back to carbon monoxide and noise.
Because you're used to such, especially Miami had quite a nice scene, you know?
Oh, it was a complete, and my sister would only come to Miami twice a year to see her gynecologist and to go Christmas shopping. And she'd be up in Miami and she'd be like, I got to get out of here. But she lived in Key West for many years and had a wonderful time. But she had a stalker that she knew who he was. He was a married man. They were friends and they had a daughter and they would socialize. And after, because he would really come on strong, then he would disappear for a few months. Then he'd come back for a few months. And she was certain she knew who it was, but she wouldn't report him because she's like, what if I am wrong? I don't want to ruin this man's life and his family. But she ran this little, she worked for Key West Seaplane, you know, booking and that sort of thing. What a life. And she would get there like 5 minutes after she was supposed to be there and the phone would be ringing and she'd pick it up and he'd be like, you're late. Things like that. And he broke into her. She had this groovy apartment, and he broke into the apartment and cut all the nipples out of her bras.
Oh my God, I would kill
someone. No. She rode a motorcycle, a little Honda, and one day it just stopped in the middle of the boulevard, and when she got it to the mechanic, he pulled a pair of her panties out of the gas tank.
Oh my God.
And it was just, I mean, it was just reoccurring and reoccurring. So I just can't imagine how terrifying it would be to not.
Yeah, you can't hide anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
nowhere.
I mean, I didn't even have, you know, utilities go to my home. Everything went to a P.O. box. Usually you had to use like a mailbox, et cetera, because if they know it's a P.O. box, the stalker sees it's a P.O. box, then they'll research to find the real address. My stalker actually went to my P.O. box and hung out outside waiting for me to come and get my mail.
Wow.
You know, so, but the thing is, but luckily I lived in Little Italy and I lived in a small building and it was all Italians and they look out for you there, boy. And when I got back, when I found out from the FBI that he was in New York looking for me and he'd actually been in my hallway. And there's only three apartments on each floor. I mean, it's a very small building. And luckily, the guy across the hall was the FBI, and the guy next door was my landlord. So, but they told me, and I couldn't go home. I had to go stay at a friend's until they actually arrested him.
But did you have to go to court and that sort of thing once they arrested
him? Yes, I had the U.S. attorney as my attorney.
And what was it like to be in the same room with this person? I mean, were they staring at you the whole time? Or
actually, he didn't look at me, and he'd been in jail for, they'd held him from the time they arrested him. They held him for at least 7 or 8 months before there was a court case. And I told the judge, I said, listen, I actually was crying a little bit because I was upset because I felt sorry for the guy because he did have an illness. And it's an illness. It's like a wolf that imprints on another wolf and can never, you know, a wolf is, once it imprints, it never imprints on any other wolf.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, that's what this illness is. It's called erotomy. You actually imprint on someone and you can never take that away off of them.
What kind of fresh hell is that?
And I mean, I've watched, actually there was a Criminal Minds about it. It's, if you read about it, it actually exists. Mm-hmm. And plus, when you talk to them, they see you talking to them, and to them, you're saying, I love you. And his family thought we were engaged to be married. That's why he kept coming out from Berlin. They thought we were engaged because
his family thought you and this guy were engaged.
Because,
wow.
I mean, so I said, you know, I think he served his time here, but I think he shouldn't be able to contact me by internet or anything. And I also think his family should make him get professional help because he's never going to be happy. I mean, to realize that this man is going to go, and plus he loved coming to California. He loved coming to Chicago. He loved traveling to the U.S. He wasn't the brightest guy, and he didn't change his clothes a lot, so you could smell him before you saw him. But to know he could never come back, it upset me. The whole thing, I was disturbed by it. I was afraid of him, but I was also afraid for him. So it was weird. But
well, I mean, you know, because he's interrupting your life in a terrifying way, but at the same time, you know, you... But exactly, you are a human being enough to try and understand that he's got this outrageous medical condition that he can't control.
It broke my heart, and the funny thing is, it was on Criminal Minds. There's this show, and it was a security agent. He was hired to watch this very wealthy guy's twin daughters. And he ends up falling in love with one. And he kidnaps one. And he kills her. And then he kidnaps her. I mean, it's just real serious. This is a real serious illness.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember going to see my FBI agent, who they are not fun at all. They have no sense of humor. Nothing. And I would have to go meet with her. And I said, you didn't by any chance see that Criminal Minds last week? She goes, yes. And I thought of you. But I remember going to do autograph signings in Pittsburgh. at a really, really fun comic book convention. And I had to have 4 FBI agents with me. And they came in plain clothes. And I felt so stupid that they would have to do this because they have to come to a Comic-Con, you know? And I felt like, I just felt really stupid that these FBI guys had to come to this Comic-Con. And you know what they said? This is the most fun job we've ever had. We have had so much fun. We have had free pictures taken with all the celebrities. We have gotten free gifts. And I mean, because the celebrities were told who they were. Nobody else knew who they were. But but the guy that owned the Comic-Con, he goes, boy, you get more free people in than anybody I know, because they had to let him in free, you know. So, but I had FBI agents while I'm signing autographs at a Comic-Con, and they said it was the best. Thank him. They thanked me.
You have such a fun and exciting life.
It's been colorful.
Oh, and this is just another chapter coming up now that you're in Florida. As soon as we get down there, forget it. We're going to go down to Miami Beach and just. I don't even know if anybody goes to Miami Beach anymore. Huh?
I might move down there.
No, you don't want to go to South Beach. No offense.
I'm packing up this place because
Dania is somewhere cool to look. That's where I used to live, but Delray is close to you.
Well, I love Delray.
Yeah.
But I mean, the problem is it's a seller's market right now, and it won't be a buyer's market for at least another year and a half.
Well, you got
to
do.
So I would have to sell and then wait it out and then shop a little bit, maybe in a year and a half, because I don't want to spend like the girl that is a friend of mine that I know here that watches Maybelline for me. She bought her place 17 years ago in this building, and she paid as much as I did.
No kidding.
So that's how high it was back
when the building was new.
Because it was 2006, remember? Mm-hmm. And then everything dropped in 2008.
Well, let me tell you what. I used to say this. You just reminded me because, you know, I'm sorry I put Dennis through this and all, but that situation with losing my house and that flood and no cooperation from anybody. Wells Fargo home mortgage, if you're even still in existence, you suck.
Oh.
Anyway.
Swallow.
As well as
a lawsuit myself.
I just like throwing that out there. What was I just going to say? We want to come and see you. It's your birthday month. Have you been having fun?
I've been kind of dealing with this lawsuit in New York, you know, because of the condo that I have there that the woman won't let me in. So I've been dealing.
I've been wanting to ask you about that, but I don't. I figured, you know, we've been wanting to find out how it's going with that, but you know, it's one of those situations where we'd rather you just bring it up instead of going, what's happening.
And we want to have fun stuff anyway. I still haven't got in it, and I'm paying basically what she's trying to do. They're trying to keep me out of it long enough to where I can't afford to pay for it. That's why I have to sell this one, because I'm paying for that one too, and they're not letting me in it. And I'm paying $2,000 a month and so $5,000 a month in rents. And one I can't go in, and I can't sell this one until I can get in that one. And so they figure if they hold it out long enough, and my attorneys are through $25,000, so they figure if they hold out long enough that I'll have to sell it. And if I have to sell it, their daughter gets 25% of the property value.
Oh, my God. So I shouldn't say this on the Bob Beat Show. Yay. But listen, I'll go up there. I just want to go up there and bitch slap her.
Well, I think
for treating you like this.
My friend's attorney that wrote the trust, I think he is the one that's the evil one. And he said, I'll be your attorney.
It's the attorney. The attorney wants to suck the money out of everybody.
She had no idea he wasn't letting me talk to her. She had no idea that I couldn't call her. Mm-hmm. I wasn't allowed to speak to her. That was breaking the law.
And first of all, let me rephrase this. I would never go and bitch slap anybody, because I just said that on my worldwide live stream show. But never would I ever really do that, because it would be seen out of
it. Bitch slap somebody so fast.
Are you in communication with her now on any level?
No, I can't. I'm not allowed to talk to her. He told me Well, now he's quit being her attorney because he knew he'd never get paid because I'm the only one that can pay him. See, he was running up a bill with her thinking I would cover her bill, but I won't cover her bill.
Hell no. You know, I have a someone I'm not very close to anymore, but we used to be very, very close. And she and her brother, it's only one brother, and they don't get along at all. And her father, who was a swell guy, he was a man of means. And it took, because she and her brother were so headstrong, and the lawyer kept, so he must have sucked $500,000 out of there, $500,000 or more out of their inheritance.
I think she's a much nicer person, and he's the one that's been misguided. He's been guiding her in the wrong direction.
Right. She probably doesn't even understand how badly you're being treated. And
I mean, thousands and thousands of dollars. You know, that's why I have to move out of this apartment, even if I don't get the other apartment, because I can't keep paying for both of them at the same time. Because even though they're not letting me pay for that one, at the end of the day, even when at the end of this trial, I'm going to have to pay all the back, even if they sell it. I have to pay all the back rent.
And it's well, some
$10,000.
One of us needs to hit that stupid lotto or Mega Millions or whatever.
I know, I guess.
Somebody in Florida won that $1 billion, $1.5 billion. I mean, give us a break. That shit should be split up.
The secret is, you gotta, I got to go buy the ticket. And I keep forgetting.
It reminds me of a joke. The blonde's praying to God. She goes, God, God, please let me win the lottery. I need the money so bad. And the next day she prays, God, God, please, can you help me win the lottery? I have to feed my children and I'm so broke. And the third day she goes, God, God, please help me win the lottery. And a voice goes, buy a ticket.
You know, you were
asking. Okay, Dennis, my time again.
You're asking.
We have 3 minutes.
Okay, you're asking about my birthday, and I went ahead because I haven't done anything nice for myself. I haven't even gone shopping. I gotta go shopping because I haven't shopped in years. I got a room at the Hilton, and Jamie's coming in. Jamie.
Oh, it'll be great. You two will tear up that town.
And my real. It's just gonna be a couple of girls, you know.
It's gonna be great. We'll be there in spirit.
Yeah, so
take, we're going to stay at
the hotel and drink by the pool and stuff.
That's all you need to be doing. That's the only time I'll ever drink a pina colada with Meyer's rum is by the pool.
The only time I've had a pina colada is at the pool.
You need a frozen pina colada, and you insist that they make it with
double
Meyer's
shot.
Dark rum.
Floater. You have to have the floater on top.
Oh, yeah.
Extra rum.
I need a pool so bad. All right, it's about – we have 2 minutes. So is there anything you'd like to tell your fabulous fans? Thank you all. For tuning in to watch the lovely Kathy St. George, who will be back again, not next week, but she will be back soon.
I do have some things, but it's too quick, but it's something I'm doing with Jamie, but it's too hard. I'm working on raising money to help find these kidnapped indigenous women all over the country. So,
all right. Well, that sounds marvelous. And you need to, the next time you come on, let's sit down and go over our little, what do you call it? You know, when you have a outline and you plan what you're going to say and ask and all that, nah, that's no fun. I mean, I've been watching myself talk for like 5 minutes ago for like the whole show, which is hilarious. So thank you, Sam. I love it. Because it's going to freak out people to tune in. So let's see.
I get scared to talk about serious stuff, but you know, I'm crazy enough. So
you're the best and we miss you. Hey, guess what you're missing in Beverly Hills?
What
nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
You know, I miss California. Though. I miss the weather. It's so muggy and hot here. It's so I have friends living here. They say it's the hottest it's ever been here.
That's what I understand. And it was real hot and muggy for us, but it's better. And we had Taylor Swift did 6 shows, and the city did over $1 billion in revenue for restaurants and hotels. And it's time for us to wrap it up.
I love
Thanks,
you so
Sam,
much.
Thanks, Sam, our producer, Sam Hassel, the producer and owner of LA Talk Radio. Thank you. And I'll talk to you. I'm not going to call you right now because we have to go pick up our friend from the doctor's office.
I'm going to go.
And then let's talk tomorrow.
Love you.
Love you. Thank you all for listening to the Bob Dean Show. We'll be back next week. Hopefully Mike Moody, a fabulous local comedian, will be joining us.
Bye.
Bye, Maybelline. We love you. All right. That's it. Thank you all. Thank you, Sam. Bye, Kath. Mwah, mwah.
You're listening to The Bob Dean Show, only on LA Talk Radio.